Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord this morning? I couldn't wait to get here this morning. Hallelujah. Because He is good. You know, we sang a verse this morning. I don't know if you guys remember. But I want you to keep this in the forefront of your minds as I'm speaking this morning. And I didn't tell the youth to sing this song. It was a song that the Lord had put on my son's heart. But in those lyrics, it said, three nails set us free. It was three nails that set us free. And that just resounds in my spirit this morning. Because again, I know that the Lord is speaking. But I just want you to keep that in the forefront of your minds as we get into God's word this morning. And as He unfolds what He's put on my heart to share with you this morning. Amen. Let's start with prayer. Would you stand with me this morning, church, and stand with me in prayer? First, I want to read God's word this morning out of the 14th chapter of Luke, the 30th verse. And this is Jesus saying, let's start at verse 29. Least after He has laid the foundation and is not able to finish, all who sees it will begin to mock Him, saying, this man began to build and he was not able to finish. Father, we just thank You for Your word this morning. We thank You, Father, that You're here, Lord, that Your presence is with us, Lord. Lord, that You were even here, Father, waiting on us to enter into Your divine presence, Father, into that divine relationship, Father, in which You had purposed for each and every one of us. We thank You, Father, that You purchased us, Lord, with Your redeeming blood. With Your life that You sacrificed upon that cross this morning so that we could gather here this morning, Father, to receive Your word, Father. So, Father, open our hearts this morning, God. Give us ears to hear and eyes to see, Father, and a heart that would receive, God, the things in which You want to speak this morning. We thank You, Lord. We praise You, Father, for all that You're doing in our lives, God. Be glorified. Be honored, Father. Because all of it belongs to You, God. All of it belongs to You, Lord. We thank You this morning, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated this morning. Hallelujah. Well, you know, Pastor Joe started this year off with our theme and gave us a vision and a direction. He gave us a direction, and we know what that word was, right? This is the year of what? Edification. And he gave a definition of that extensively the last time he spoke. And it's about building. Edifying means to build up, to build. And so, the word that I started off with this morning from the book of Luke talked about finishing. Finishing. And it's kind of ironic, too, that the Lord has been putting this message on my heart because, you know, we've been talking about building things physically. And a brother's been helping us as a team here to look at some different things. And he said something that kind of sparked something in my mind to spur me to search the word for what God wants to speak to this body and this congregation. And he said this, he said, you know, you should always build something with the end in mind. We should always build things with the end in mind. Because, you know, we could add on to it later. We should build for the future, should we not? If we look, God was a God who did things always with the end in mind. He did things, everything that we read about in Scripture, you know, the Word says that He foreknew all things. That everything that He builds with the purpose of the end being in mind, for the end purposes to be in mind. He's a God that builds with the end in mind. So should it not hold true that we as His people, as we're building His kingdom, should not build on that same principle? Can we agree on that this morning? Amen. Are you guys with me? Amen. All right, just making sure you guys are alive this morning. We should build upon this same principle. We should always be building things with the end in mind, with the future in mind. See, living our Christian lives can be kind of compared to a contractor that agrees to build a building. Okay? We know that, let's say you paid somebody to build something for you. Okay, you paid top dollar. Normally, You want someone to build something that's of worth, right? If you're going to pay your hard-earned money for someone to build something for you, well, you want that individual to do his best, to give his best, to use the best materials, do we not? Well, just think if someone were to take your money, okay, say, I'm going to build you this house, this place, and starts to build it and ends up putting pink bricks in and purple bricks and black bricks, and he just mixes all this stuff up into this conglomeration of this mess. You know, he uses, instead of using concrete, he uses gravel for your driveway, uses inferior materials. Instead of using, say, 5/8 sheetrock, he uses, you know, some you know, thin 3/8 stuff. I mean, and you've paid this guy top dollar to do the best job possible, and this is what he gives you. Would you not be upset? You'd probably take that guy to court, right, and sue him for your money back so that you can get somebody else to come in and do it right for you, right? Well, the same holds true in our Christian lives. Jesus paid a hefty price for you and I. He paid a price insurmountable. We can't even put a dollar amount on it. But he paid a price for our lives. He paid top dollar, if you will, for our sins. If I can put it more in a more understanding way, in a more human way to understand, he paid top dollar for us. So shouldn't it hold true that we should do our very best to build what he has purposed us to build because he purchased us to do that? We should. And we shouldn't take it lightly. The Bible, in essence, says that God has paid good money for you and I. So we need to watch how we build for his kingdom. We need to watch the materials that we use to build for his kingdom. We don't need to use cheap methods and cheap ways, inferior ways to build what God has purposed us as a people to do. And we never, ever need to use our own architectural designs either, because he is the pattern. He has set the pattern for us. So why reinvent the wheel? Why try to reinvent something that he has already set the design for us to do? But yet a lot of the times, it's kind of out of sight, out of mind. And it's unfortunate that we as people sometimes think that way. If something is not before us to constantly remind us, that it's kind of out of mind. You know, the children of Israel were warned never ever to remove the ancient landmarks. Why? Because they were there to always remind them of something. To remind them of what? Of what God had done in their lives. And see, and I think that when we serve in our Christian lives, that there is nothing, there is no landmarks before us that will actually get us in a mode of being able to continually be remembered of what God has designed us and who he's designed us to be. He didn't save us to come and just occupy space in this church, did he? He didn't. He came that we would build his kingdom. He first built it in us, did he not? Now he's called us to build his kingdom. You know, for some years I was a subcontractor. I laid carpet. I did all the carpet here in this church. It's what God had gifted me to do flooring, be it tile, wood, carpeting. And I did this for some years. And as any subcontractor will tell you, to be successful in this business, okay, you've got to come in low with your bid, and then when you win the bid, you've got to do the best job possible. So you've got to do the best job possible with the least amount of money in your pocket. Now, this is kind of upside down, is it not? But that's the business world that we live in, and that's the way that business is done. If your business is going to be successful, you have to do the best job possible for the lowest amount of money. You know, they build the space shuttle with its millions and millions of moving parts, and they bid it out to the person who's going to build it for the least amount of money. Now, you think about that. I mean, this is supposed to be the most sophisticated, technologically advanced piece of machinery on the face of the planet, and they're going to contract it out to someone who's going to do it for the least amount of money. Now, does that tell you that they might not do an exactly a great job? Probably not, because see, I remember in my business when I had to deal with this situation that sometimes I cut corners. Sometimes I didn't do the work that I should do. Now, I know that some of you are sitting out there that I've done some work for, all right? Let me clarify something for you, okay? This was B.C., okay? This was before Christ in my life, okay? All right? But I'm using this analogy because it's true. And you know what? But still, even in my Christian life, I still struggle with this thing. I am not perfect by any means. Do we have any perfect Christians who do the right thing every single time? Okay, I don't see any hands. Praise God. If you did, come please talk to me after the service. I need, you know, I want to know what your, you know, the philosophy behind that, if that's even possible. But again, you know, I dealt with my business in this way for some time, and I noticed that my business began to fail. It began to fail. I was doing things in an inferior way. I was using materials. I was cutting corners. I was doing things that wasn't right. And it wasn't long before what? That my business began to go downhill. And it was almost sunk. It was almost sunk. And see, I wanted to experience all the blessings of running a business. You know, there's nothing like running your own business. You don't have to answer to anybody. You know, you're your own boss. You set your own times. You know, well, not all the time. You know, you got customers constantly calling me. I need you here right now, man. Get off that job and come over here. Come on, we got subcontractors out here that know that. You know, you got to please your customers. You've got to please the customer. You've got to go above and beyond. But at a point in time in my business life, I wasn't willing to do that. I was cutting corners. I was doing things that were not right. I wouldn't go the extra mile for the future of my company. I wasn't thinking long term. I wasn't building with the end in mind. And something was failing in my business. And it wasn't until I got a God perspective on this, it wasn't until I got God's perspective and what He says about building that things began to change in my life. Because at the end of my business, before I came full time with the ministry, I couldn't do all the work that was coming in at that point in time. Now, I'm not bragging on myself, but I mean, I was just that good, you know. No, I'm just kidding. It was God. It was the Lord. That's who I owe that to. And Luke will even tell you, Luke worked with me for some time, and him and I were busy. And I couldn't give work away. I mean, I had so much work, it was unbelievable. But it wasn't until I got this God perspective that things began to change. Now, when it comes to building God's kingdom, I feel that, you know, you and I, that we have maybe taken on this approach. Can you identify with this maybe? In some areas of your life when God has called you to be a builder of His kingdom? Have you cut corners? You know, we all want to experience the blessings of being a Christian, but sometimes we're just content with putting forth the least amount of effort sometimes. When Christ gave it all, He paid it all for each and every single one of us. And again, I know that some of us here may be struggling with this. Maybe some of you know that you've been called to build something right here in this church or wherever, but you're struggling with man, is this really what I'm supposed to be doing? Is this really where I'm supposed to be going in my Christian life? And it's unfortunate that God speaks to each and every single one of us. Because I'm a youth pastor, or because Joe has been in ministry for 40 years, 40 plus years, you know, he doesn't hear any more from God than any one of us. But the difference is how much are we pressing in to His presence in order to hear from Him? How much have we made Him the architect and the design of what He wants in our lives and for our ministries? That's the question on the floor this morning. And have you done such a thing? Have you done that? It's important. It's so important to what's happening here, especially at Church of Living Hope. You know, this church is, if you've not noticed, I mean, things are happening around here. God is doing some awesome things right here in this church. And brothers and sisters, I can't do it alone. I was telling the team with Adopt a Block yesterday that we are a team, that this is not, and I loved what Joe said the last time he preached as well. Joe said, this is not my church. The Dream Center is not my ministry. It's a ministry of the Church of Living Hope. It's an opportunity. It's a gateway for each and every single one of us to find out exactly, where is it, Lord, do I fit in this cog, in this machine, in this building in which you're building? And I love it because, see, God, that's how he orchestrates things. He always orchestrates things. He builds things with the end in mind, with your good in mind, with our good in mind. But he says, what are we going to do with what we've been given? The opportunities, they're there for us. But no one is going to force your hand, and he especially is not going to force your hand. But God is calling us to build his kingdom, to build his kingdom with his purpose, building with a God purpose, building with a God purpose. You know, building God's kingdom, it's a mandate. It's a mandate from God, and we hate to use this term around the ministry, but it is mandatory, okay? It's a mandatory thing. We can go through scripture upon scripture where the Lord tells us that we are to be builders of his kingdom. Calvary Commission, the very name itself, tells us that we have a call from Calvary to build his kingdom. Brother James and his wife are here this morning, kingdom builders. They have sown into a life sitting right here in our front row this morning. My brother testified of it. He is a result of his kingdom building work to reach somebody's life. And here we have two beautiful people who are part of this body this morning. They're a result of a brother and sister giving their lives to build God's kingdom. Because understand this, building his kingdom is not building a building or a church. We're his building. God builds his church by people, with people. And so it's a mandate. It's mandatory. You know, we love to talk about how we're free in our Christian lives. We're free from all the restrictions of the Mosaic law and all these things. And that's true. We are free. But Paul says in the book of Galatians in 5:13, he says, for you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use that liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. To serve one another. That basically means that just because God has set you free doesn't mean that you can just do any old thing and think, you know, and we treat this grace, this beautiful grace that God has given us, and we cheapen it so much, we dumb it down so much that we just think that, okay, you know, somebody else can do that. And we're going to talk about that guy, somebody else. That's somebody else's business. We're going to talk about that guy here in just a second. But it's a mandate. It is mandatory that we build his kingdom. But not to use that liberty as an excuse to gratify us, in other words, to gratify our own pleasures. We're here to serve God. He's not here to serve us. We're here to serve people. He's not here. They're not here to serve us. 1 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter, verse 9. To kind of set this up, at the beginning of this chapter, the 3rd chapter of Corinthians, Paul is addressing an issue and a situation that the church of Corinth is presently going through. These people, they're carnal, they're fighting, there's strife, there's all these different things going on, and they're calling themselves a part of this faction and this faction. Some say that I follow Paul because I like his teachings, or I follow Apollos because of his teachings. And Paul makes something very clear. He says, you know what? We're one and the same. What you're quarreling about, what you're fighting about is all nonsense, okay? Because we're here for one purpose and one purpose alone. We're here to build his kingdom. We're not here for you to quarrel about what church you want to go to or what person you want to follow or what ministry you want to be a part of. There's only one ministry, and that's the kingdom of God and building it. And that's the and Paul is trying to communicate this to these fleshly Christians that have allowed all this other garbage into their Christian lives and into their thinking. He says, man, all that is nonsense. He says, we're one and the same. He says, I plant, he waters, but it's God who gives the increase. It's him who's going to build his church. It's him who is going to do it. But how is he going to do it unless what? Unless somebody plants, another waters. So there's work for us to do, in other words, Paul was saying. He says, don't get caught up in all that garbage and all that nonsense. be concerned about this one thing, about building his kingdom. And he goes on in verse 9 and says, for we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field and you are God's building. Now we know buildings and fields, we don't build buildings just for the sake of building buildings, do we? Buildings serve a purpose. We fill them with things. We use them as a resource for business, for various different things. Fields, some people just let their fields kind of rot away. It's unfortunate. It's a resource. And they profit nothing from it. But if you have a field, you use it, what? To build something on. Build a crop, like Jake. They are resources. They are something for you and I to be able to use. And Paul is saying, this is who we are. First of all, and I like to take this from the backwards part because, again, because it starts from the back. It says that we are his building and we are his field. So if he's doing something, if he's using us as his commodity, as his resource, okay, he is calling, he's giving us, he owns us, in other words. He's placing ownership upon our lives if we are his field, if we are his building. So he's doing something within us. And it says, therefore, we are his fellow workers. Well, fellow workers in doing what? And again, in building his kingdom, in building what he's doing, being concerned about his purposes, his plans, not our plans, not our ministries. You know, I came into Calvary Commission almost 9 years ago, and I had my own vision of what God wanted. How many of us got our five-year plans, our five-year, 10-year plans, one-year plans? I know Patrick even talks about it. He had his one-year plan, didn't you, Pat? And he knew what he was going to do. Brother Vernon, you testified to me just the other day about some things. We have our own perceptions and our own ideas about how we're going to serve God. When God says, you're a fellow laborer with me. I'm the one that's got this. I've designed it. I'm the architect here. You're going to just mess it all up, and that's all we ever do. That's all I did. And see, and my business failed, okay, because see, there was a point in time in my life where I thought that my carpet business, my flooring business, was going to be the ministry in which God was going to use to build his kingdom. Was I wrong? He shut that down just as quick as he gave it to me. And I knew, and I called Patrick, and I said, Patrick, I'm coming home, brother. I'm coming back to the ministry, man. I knew that I knew. But sometimes, you know, God has to slam us into some walls sometimes. Sometimes he has to build some things in front of us. Sometimes he has to put us on the back of a donkey, right, and use it to talk to us. Huh? Come on. We've got to quit trying to build things according to our own plans and our own purposes. God is saying, I've got this. I've got this. Verse 10, according to the grace of God which he has given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another builds on it. But let each one of us take heed on how he builds it. You know, I thank God that mighty men of God like Joe and James and Brother Darren and the many men who have served in the ministry for years and years have come before me and laid the foundation as master builders. Because who taught them to be master builders? They've dedicated their lives to Christ. And Christ taught them everything that they know. Now, do they get it right every time? Probably not. But that's okay. Because I see more right in it because the Spirit of God is there than I see anything else. It's not by power, not by might, but by my Spirit, says the Lord, as it was spoken over. And that's the foundation which we have to build on. Brothers and sisters, see that this church was founded, how many years, Joe, now? We just celebrated 21 years. 21 years. The foundation, brothers and sisters, have been laid. God is doing something amazing in this body. And he has already given us the forerunners, those who have done the footwork for us, Kimberly and Robert, Jody and Ann. They've come before us and they built this thing. The youth group, he was just bragging on them this morning. Jody is the foundation of these young people that were up here worshiping this morning. Are we getting this? Are we understanding this? That the work has already been done for us, and God is saying, come on, be my co-laborer in this. Join me in what I'm doing. Get up off of your rear ends and just get busy. And I'm not saying doing something just this, you know, arbitrarily, just for the sake of doing something, just because I'm sitting up here making you feel guilty about something. That's not what I'm up here saying, okay? And again, this is not, and I've used this word before, this is not a spiritual pep talk this morning, okay? I pray that the Spirit of the living God would speak to your heart and get this in us, that the time is short. People are dying out there. We've got these children, man, that we're bringing on this in this church on Wednesday nights whose families don't care about them, half of them. They could care less. We feed them spiritual food and physical food because they can't get it at home. God is using this body, and he's saying, I can't do it alone. Joe can't do it alone. The foundation has been laid. Will we become that co-laborer? Will we become the church that God wants to build? And we can't do it alone. We can't do it alone. Again, I'm not saying that you got to come to adopt a block every Saturday. But what I'm saying is, I want us this morning to really look deep within ourselves and see, am I truly using the gifts that God has instilled in me to enrich the life of someone else? That's the question on the floor this morning. You know, I talked about that guy, somebody else. We know that guy. He's a busy guy, man. He's a busy guy, man. He does everything. I can't even catch up to him sometimes. He's so busy. But I hear that. And we say that. That's not my job. Let somebody else do it. Or when something goes wrong, we're quick to blame it on that somebody else guy, right? We're quick. It's somebody else. They're more gifted and talented than I am in that area. So somebody else can do it. Lord, help us. Lord, help us if we have ever used that excuse. We need to do away with that guy, somebody. He needs to be totally expelled out of our very presence and out of our very vocabulary. Because God is calling us to build, to edify his kingdom. That's what this year is about. It's about not only building each other up as a family of God, which we do that. And I think that this is the most nurturing environment that I've ever been in. I mean, this is a family that loves each other. And I'm not saying that other churches are not like that. But this is the church that I belong to. And I know the love that exists here. And it transcends far beyond anything that I can imagine. So I know it's here. The gifts that God wants to use for his kingdom are sitting right here in these chairs this morning. They're sitting right here in this room this morning. The gifts to change lives, to be instrumental in seeing a young boy that was cast away and that nobody even cares about because the principal has deemed him troublemaker. Teachers, you can't stand him. But if we show him some love and nurture him, he could be the next president of the United States or the next Billy Graham or the next great missionary who would go forth and change the world. There's nothing greater than knowing that you and I had a part in that. Let me give this testimony, and I didn't even know this until yesterday at Adopt-A-Block. We're sitting here, and somebody said, well, you know what's awesome about what we're doing? They said, there is a lady that we reached on our blocks, that we reach out to every single Saturday, and she's become part of this body now. She comes to church faithfully, Wednesdays and Saturdays, and she's assimilated herself because she says, I feel the love of the people in this place. I feel welcomed here. But the awesome part about it is that, you know where she is this weekend? She's being ministered to out at Hosea's door. She's being ministered to this very moment right now. She is sitting with Tina Hill, who is a part of this body. And she is a kingdom builder. And she's being ministered to. And it was just because a few crazy people had the idea that we're just going to go out and knock on some doors and pray for people on Saturday mornings. Come on. But it's a God thing, you guys. That's what it's God birthed, it's God breathed. Many even said, well, let's see how long that this is going to last. How long are they going to go out on Saturday mornings? How long is that going to keep up? Well, you know what? 9 months and still going strong. And there is no end in sight. Amen. Because it's we just want to build God's kingdom. And again, it's we're just not doing something just for the sake of doing something. The Spirit of God must move in the lives of people, and if we don't show them, they'll never know. They'll never know. Verse 11, for no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is who? Jesus Christ. He is the foundation. He is the foundation of this church. Remember the three nails. The three nails. He is the foundation. He is the builder. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, and straw, each one's work will become clear. For the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire. And the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. And here's the kicker, and I love this. If anyone's work which he has built on endures, he will receive a reward. The end in mind. The end in mind. See, out of sight, out of mind. Out of sight. You know, when I was a child, there was a lady in our apartment complex who used to minister. She'd bring me down, and she was the one that read the book of Genesis. God created the heavens and the earth. And I remember she taught me how to memorize those scriptures. But she told me this, and it changed my life as a child. She says, you know what? If you, as many souls as you bring into God's kingdom, God says that he's going to reward you for that. He's going to give you a crown, and there'll be jewels in that crown. And there is nothing that will motivate a child more than to know that the things that they do will be rewarded. Amen? If you want to get your kids to do something, simply reward them. Tell them that there is something great of value at the end of this thing if you obey and do this. There's nothing, and from a small child, I remember I used to even tell people, you know what? Jesus loves you. And you know what? I want you to go to heaven. And I would just start speaking the word of God to them, knowing that I was getting this, I was building my crown. Is there anything wrong with that? No. Why? Because God says that if our work endures, we shall receive a reward. Not an earthly reward, but a heavenly reward. And see, we've taken this and we've said, you know, we don't see it. It's not before us. So therefore, we treat it as if it really doesn't exist sometimes. And so we sit on our laurels, we do absolutely the least amount of things possible to build God's kingdom, and we're satisfied. We're satisfied. And that just ain't right. That's not right at all. It should motivate us. The gift, the reward which awaits us at the end of this thing, when God wraps all this thing up, I want to hear the words, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. Come. Enter into the joy of the Lord." That's the words that I want to hear. And I'm going to work my tail off to do that. Because not out of just necessity, not out of, again, just arbitrarily, just because I want to do something. Because see, something, God has given me something. You can never, ever do anything for God unless he's done something for you. Never. I question people's motives sometimes of why they sit around and do nothing. Has God actually really, truly, he who has been forgiven much, loves much? I mean, we can go on and on with scriptures. Most of you probably know them. But we can never, ever give anybody anything that has never, ever been given to us. Never. God has called us to open the eyes of the blind, to open their eyes, that they could see. Then the redemptive work could happen. See, we're only called, in a sense, to bring conversion, okay? Because we can save nobody. All we simply do, just as Paul was called by Christ. And what does he say in the book of Acts? I believe the 24th chapter. He says, "Paul, I have called you to go to the Gentiles to open their eyes, to simply expose light in the dark place." That is simply just a conversion. That is to illuminate the spirit man within every single one of us. But we know the first act of grace is what? Forgiveness of sins. And the Lord says that I'll do the rest. You just take the light to them. It's just that simple. But we make it so complicated, so hard. Matthew 16, 25 and 27 says that Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, and we've all read this 1,000 times probably, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. It's no longer our lives, but his. It's his life today. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what is it? What does it profit a man if he gains the whole world but yet loses his soul? Loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man will come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he will what? He will reward each one according to his work. Brothers and sisters, we are called to work. We are called to work. There is work to be done. There is light to be spread. There is salt to be seasoned on the lives of the lost. And the promise is there for us. He says that, guess what? He's going to reward us. I can't even picture it in my own mind. You know, heaven it transcends any thought that we can even think. So what is that reward really going to be like? Yeah, we'll be around his throne worshiping him and worshiping the Lord 24/7. But what will it truly be like? Use your imagination, maybe. Put it in the forefront of your mind. Don't leave here today out of sight, out of mind. This reward that God has awaiting each and every single one of us if we will simply work the works in which he has worked in us and pour it out. He says that rivers of living water should flow through us. The Spirit of the living God flowing through us to change lives. Let me put it in a little different perspective, all right? Something that maybe you can understand. Say I could line this whole stage up here with 100. We had, how many people we have in here probably this morning? About 150 people probably, somewhere in that neighborhood. Say I would take $150 million, okay, and line it across this stage this morning. $100 bills stacked to the ceiling. And I said, you know what, church? Here's the deal. You disciple an individual, bring them up in the knowledge of the Word of God, assimilate them into this body, and guess what? I will give you $1 million. How many thinks this church would double overnight? Hello, come on, let's be honest. If I said that, and I showed it to you, I showed you the $1 million, it's on this stage. If you did this, how many people would leave this church run? I probably wouldn't, this service would probably be empty right after I said that. Would it not? Think about it. Put it on your mind. Think about that. Everybody would run up out of here and do everything that they could to get their million. Would they not? They would. But see, yet we have a far greater prize awaiting us in eternity. But yet we still treat this thing as if it's nothing. We treat it as if it's nothing. Again, this is not another pep talk, you guys. This is about edification, about building what God wants to build in this body, to build you up and to build his kingdom up. That's what it's about. Pat Tillman. Anybody know that name? Anybody a football fan? Pat Tillman? Some of us know who Pat Tillman is. Pat Tillman was an individual who was given a $3.9 million football contract to play with the Arizona Cardinals. $3.9 million. This guy walked away from $3.9 million to serve in our military, to protect our country and our freedoms and our liberties. And you know what happened to him? He died in Afghanistan. He died for what he believed in. Will you spend your life for what you believe in? And that was a far less reward, if you will. It wasn't really for the kingdom of God, was it? You know, I'm not here to judge him on that or say that. I don't know what his motives were. But he walked away from that to serve. And we complain because we got to get up and spend a couple hours maybe feeding the homeless someplace. Oh, man, I'd much rather lay in the comforts of my bed instead of going to do that. Oh, I know the person's out there dying, but somebody else will take care of it. There's that somebody else guy. Somebody else will do it. There's plenty of people in the church that really have that heart. Come on, you guys. Brothers and sisters, God is calling us to build His kingdom. He's calling us to build His kingdom. Anybody ever had a bad waiter at a restaurant? Huh? You ever had a bad waiter that comes and, yeah, here's your menus. I kind of gave a little illustration kind of similar to this some time ago. But, you know, they throw the menus down. Yeah, we'll be right with you in just a second. Come back and, yeah, what can I get you? What do you want? You know, I mean, just listless, careless, indifferent about who you are and why you're there at that place. We know them. We've all been around them. We've all been around them. But see, if we didn't come to that restaurant, there'd be no business. And if there was no business, well, then there would be no job for that individual, would there not? Of course not, there wouldn't. But we know what a correct attitude of a servant is, right? Of a good waiter, right? How you doing today, sir? Glad to have you in the restaurant. We'll seat you in just a moment, be right with you. Would you like some water with that? Could I get you an appetizer? Could I explain the menu to you today? Or could I recommend this? This is absolutely excellent. I had it just the other day. I highly recommend this food. I love those kind of waiters. And I used to do a thing, and my wife and I even talk about it. We used to put money at the end of the table. And every time they passed our table and didn't fill up our water glass or take our plates, we'd snatch a dollar. Snatch a dollar. All right, is that wrong or what? There goes your reward. That's right. We're getting it now. Hello, you guys are with me. All right? But we can identify. See, when you get that kind of waiter, the kind who is concerned with your well-being, who doesn't think you came to that restaurant for them to pay their paycheck, okay? If they look at it flip-flop and look at it in a whole different direction, okay? When they look at it as if that you were there for them to serve you and not vice versa. And see, and a lot of the times, the problem with a bad waiter is just that. Is a bad attitude and thinking that you are there for them, that you're there to pay their salary. They're not kingdom-minded. They're not thinking with the end in mind. Because what happens? Nobody tips. But a good waiter, all right, a good waiter will make even the cheapest tipper or even those who don't even like to tip come up out of their pockets, will he not? Huh? We love good service. We do. I mean, it's natural. We love good service. God did not create us and save us so that we can serve us. That's not what He created us for. He created you and I and saved us so that we can serve Him. He wants you to service Him and Him alone. We should be saying, God, what can I do for you today? Lord, how can I serve you today, Lord? Lord, you've done so much for me, Father. Those three nails on that cross, Lord, you did so much to me. What could I do for you today, Lord? Lord, I want you to know something. I'm fixing to go to bed. But I want you to know that I know that the first thing that's going to come to my mind when I wake up in the morning and the thing that I'm going to say is, Lord, what can I do for you today? How could I build your kingdom today? See, when we decide that He is the reason that we're here, that He paid the price, and that we're here to service Him, guess what? That tip's going to be whopping at the end of that check because we're waiting on Him. We're waiting on Him. We're serving His desires. Church, God is building the Church of Living Hope to be His building, His church, and the place where He wants to nurture lives. But it's going to take some help. It's going to take all of us working together as a family, getting within ourselves and seeing the end from the beginning of it. God is starting something very foundational here with our vision for this year. Edification, the year of edification. And I'm expecting big things. I don't know about you, because I serve a big God that can go, that exceeds anything that I can think, fathom, or even imagine. And I'm expecting him to do great things. I want to see the things that God will unfold in my life. But it only will happen if I just keep an open heart. And if I say, God, you've done so much for me, Lord. How could I do it for you? What could I do for you, Lord? Because I love you. Not because I just want to do something as works. Because your works, as Paul said, will be tried in the end. Wood, hay, and stubble will be burned if it's your works, if it's the things that you want to build. But if we build with God's purposes in mind, it'll be lasting. It'll endure all things. God is calling us to be his church on the move, to be his church that's building his kingdom. Eternal rewards await each and every single one of us, but only for those who are faithfully committed to building his kingdom. Again, don't you want to hear those words? Well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. I don't want to hear this. Matthew 7:21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Have you truly sought God and his will for your life? To build his kingdom? Or do you have your 1-year, 5-year, 10-year plan still on the table with all of its architectural designs that are going to fail and be burned? That's the question on the floor this morning. This church is a perfect launching pad, a perfect foundation. It's a perfect opportunity for each and every one of us to truly see where we fit in. There's so many opportunities. But if you just listen to the Spirit of God and what he's saying, he'll open that door. He'll show you exactly where do you fit in the cog of this moving machine that's going somewhere. This is a church that is thriving, not surviving. It never has been, and it never will be. And I'll never just be a part of the body just to survive. Some people are content in that. But will we be? I pray we don't. I want this church to be filled not with members, but with missionaries. Not with members. I want this church to be filled with missionaries. Because see, a member says that I have rights. A missionary says that, God, you have the rights. That's what we want to see this morning. If I can get the youth to come up. I want to do something a little different this morning. My wife and I